The main object of interest in my talk is a partition function of Chern-Simons meta series on the three sphere. And let me start by a brief introduction of some of the known results. Using the matrix model representation of the partition function for a variety of Chern-Simons meta series, it was verified that when the rank of the Gregg group tends to infinity, the free energy, which is the logarithm of the partition function, scales as n to the 3/2 with some coefficient. These series are conjectured to be dual to M theory on the spaces of the following type. And this result with the right coefficient agrees with the prediction from the supergravity limit. And thus it provides with a non-trivial check of ADS CFT duality. So far, there have been used essentially two different approaches to study these partition functions. In the first approach, one considers Hopf limit so that Chern-Simons level k is also large and the ratio n over k kept fixed. Actually, this limit corresponds to considering a type 2a picture of the dual theory. And in this approach, one can use the standard machinery of matrix model, namely spectral curve, genus expansion, topological recursion, holomorphic anomaly equations, and so on. And this method was successfully applied for the case of ABGM theory. But the problem is that it is hard to generalize for other Chern-Simons meta series. In another approach, one considers directly n goes to infinity limit. And in this approach, the limiting value of the free energy is given in terms of some variational problem. And this approach can be applied for a very large class of Chern-Simons meta series. Yes, k is fixed.
Much smaller than n.
There's no restriction on k. That's, so k is essentially related to the strict k is proportional from the string theory point of view. K is proportional to inverse string Campe constant, and therefore, when k is kept fixed, this can be considered as M theory limit. So, in this approach, there is no restriction. There's no assumption.
But you take n to infinity.
Yeah, only M and K, you can say
it's fine. It's not a Tuff limit at the point. It's not a Tuff limit.
No.
So could you remind me, what's a Cauley F and the raw and the Y? The bottom, yes, that one.
Yeah, I won't use it in the fold, but roughly speaking, raw and Y is some description, continuous limits of eigenvalue distributions of the matrix model. So there is a lot of problems, but there are still some open questions. One of them is that the derivation of the n to the 3/2 behavior from matrix model is rather formal. So what is the physical interpretation in the gauge theory of this behavior? Another problem is that systematic calculation of one-way n corrections is hard in general. It is interesting to study this correction because they would provide some information about the quantum gravity in 11 dimensions. For ABGM theory, it is possible to study this correction systematically, and moreover, it is possible to provide a closed answer for the full perturbative part of the partition functions in terms of the area function. But the problem is that the method used for ABGM theory is hard to generalize. So in this talk, I will describe a new method of studying these partition functions, which sheds some light on those problems. And this approach has the following key features. First, the partition function is interpreted as a partition function of a certain Fermi gas system in the standard framework of statistical mechanics. And this approach provides very simple physical derivation of the n to the 3 halves behavior. And it also allows systematic study of one-way corrections. And moreover, for a class of Chern-Simons meta-series, the full perturbative part of the partition function can be found exactly by considering just next to leading correction in the semi-classical expansion. And the answer is given by every function where coefficients C and B depend on the theory under consideration. And let me know that from the point of view of this answer, this n to the 3 half behavior is given just by the first term of the asymptotic expansion of the array function. B and C are some coefficients depending on the theory, on the concrete theory. This is a coefficient which depends on theory.
I mean, part of it is that part, right? I mean, array function, that one. Yeah. How is it computed? How do you obtain that?
I will describe.
Okay, you will describe. Okay.
Yeah, this is one of the main results.
Okay.
Are the exponential corrections on the string theory side understood?
Well, the structure is understood, yes. I will describe the connection of these corrections to the corrections from the string theory. So that was an introduction. So let me describe briefly what are actually Chern-Simons meta-series. The basic and the most important example is the IBGM theory. This is n equals 6 supersymmetric theory introduced by Haroni, Bergman, Jeffries, and Baldassena. And it can be constructed as a Chern-Simons theory for the gauge group UN times UN, so that composites have opposite Chern-Simons levels k and minus k. And we also add 4 hypermultiplies in bifundamental representation. This theory can be understood as a theory associated to the following quiver, where each node corresponds to the UN gauge group, and lines between nodes correspond to bifundamental matter. And this theory was conjectured to be dual to M theory on this space or to type 2A strings, which is equivalent to type 2A strings on ADS4 times CP3 when K goes to infinity. In other words, this theory describes N coincident M2 brains probing C4 over ZK. And this contraction can be generalized to Chern-Simons meta-series with less supersymmetry, which are dual to M theory on ADS4 times X7, where X7 is some Trisos-Eckenstein manifold. And equivalently, this series describes N coincident M2 brains probing Calabi-Yau 4 fold, which is Korn over X7. So as often happens for supersymmetric series, the path integral can be reduced to a finite dimensional integral. This is also the case for Chern-Simons meta-series. By Kapustin, Willett, and Yakov, it was shown that the partition function of Chern-Simons meta-series on the 3-sphere reduces to the matrix model. So let us consider this result on the example of ABGM theory. We have integral over 2 groups of variables, lambda and mu, so that each group corresponds to a particular node in the quiver. Actually, these variables can be understood as eigenvalues of some n by n matrices, and that's why this can be understood as a matrix model. So we have an exponential of the remnant of the classical action. We also have one loop contribution from gauge fields for each node. And we also have one loop contribution from bifundamental matter, which is depicted here. So Well, you can.
After speaking, you can add some. You even introduce a nilpotent symmetry, and you can add some exact term to the action with some parameter t. And this actually, you can show that it actually doesn't change the partition function. But you, from the other hand, you can take t to infinity, and that shows, that actually serial equalizes to the zeros of this addition part.
So you have to be on a sphere, right? So the torus wouldn't work.
You have to be on a sphere to construct the right super conformal action. You have to put this action on, the curve space.
Okay, let's do S two times as well.
Then it's not known how to do operational.
But is it some mathematical trick that only works for this particular theorem, in this particular space, or is it something more general? So that's what I'm trying to understand.
Well, it works in general when you have sufficient supersymmetry.
So it's in any supersymmetric field theory in a sphere, its partition function can be reduced to matrix mode with sufficient supersymmetry.
So you have at least n equals 2. So when you consider this class of series, you have to have at least n equals 2.
So the statement is that any n equal 2 supersymmetric theory on a sphere will be reducible to a matrix mode. Is this the statement?
Yeah.
Okay.
Well, it doesn't have to be a matrix mode. The statement is that it reduces to the zeros of that delta v, which happen to be just a matrix mode.
Yes, you can choose different. The problem is that you cannot put the serial on arbitrary space preserving enough supersymmetry. So let me consider the class of more general class of transforming meta series, which are associated to so-called necklace quivers, which are depicted here. So we have R nodes. Each node corresponds to the UA engaged group with some chance sinus level K. And we have pairs of bifundamental meta between adjacent nodes. And they also can have some number of fundamental meta attached to each node.
And then the partition function reduces to the following integral, where you have R groups of eigenvalues. So each group corresponds to a particular node. And we have the classical contribution. We have a one loop contribution from gauge fields for each node. And we also have one loop contribution from bifundamental nodes between adjacent nodes, for bifundamental fields between adjacent nodes. And we also can have one loop contribution for fundamental fields for each node, where NFA denotes the number of flavors for the node A. So we have this formula for the partition function, and it can be simplified using the Cauchy identity. Let me explain briefly what is it. So we have two groups of eigenvalues, lambda A and lambda B. In the numerator, we have product of sinh of differences of eigenvalues from same groups. And in the denominator, we have product of cost of differences of eigenvalues from different groups. And it can be written as a sum over permutations of this simple product where we have to permute one group of eigenvalues. Using this, so we can note that we have this structure for each pair of adjacent nodes in this product. And we can therefore rewrite the partition function as this sum over R permutations, where, so for convenience, we have rescaled variables by K, which is the common factor of Chern-Simons levels. The function K here have the following explicit expression. So this factor just comes from these factors here, and this factor comes from these factors here after applying the shared identity. Sorry? Small r is the number of nodes.
And using symmetry of this integral with respect to the permutations of eigenvalues in each group, we can actually reduce the sum over R permutations to the sum over one permutation sigma. And we also can rewrite this integral, leaving just integral over one group of eigenvalues. And here we have some function rho, which is defined as a kernel of some operator rho. So the operator rho is given by the product of operators k, so that each operator corresponds to a pair of adjacent nodes and has the following explicit expression for the kernel. So here we just do some tricks. And we can actually forget about the details for some time. What is important is that we can rewrite the partition function in the following form as a sum over permutations. And here we have integral, which is given in terms of some operator rho. Sum over permutations can be rewritten as a sum over conjugacy classes, so that for each conjugacy class, we have ML loops of length L. And we can note that if we have in this integral a loop of length L, this gives us trace of the Lth power of operator rho. And therefore, we have this this factor with some combinatorial coefficient. Now, if we interpret operator rho as a single particle density operator for canonical ensemble with unit temperature, then Z of n is a partition function of n non-interactive fermions, so that each fermion has single particle Hamiltonian H. It is useful to consider a grand canonical ensemble. Grand canonical partition function is a function of chemical potential mu, which is defined as the following generating function of Zn. And then the grand canonical potential J is its logarithm and is equal to the following simple generating function for Zls, which are traces of operator rho. And it can be first rewritten as a trace of the following operator in terms of the Hamiltonian H. So we have seen that everything can be rewritten in terms of
an operator rho, or actually more precisely in terms of the traces of rho, and therefore actually everything depends only on the spectrum of rho, or equivalently on the spectrum of H. This spectrum can be encoded in the function n of e, which is defined as follows. And its value is equal to the number of states with the energy less than e. With the help of this function, one can rewrite that trace representation for function g of mu as follows. So we can just replace h by e and the trace by integral with this insertion. And this gives us explicit relation between the function n of e and g of mu. And we also keep in mind that there is a following simple relation between function z of n and g of mu. That's because e to the g of mu was a generating function for z of n. It is a known fact that the thermodynamic limit of an ideal Fermi gas is governed by the large energy asymptotic of the number of one particle states, particularly if the number of states has the following asymptotics. It follows that the partition function has the following behavior for large n. So this can be obtained easily from this explicit relation. Moreover, corrections to this asymptotics provide correction to their asymptotics for the free energy. It is also known fact that the large energy limit of one particle quantum system can be studied in the semi-classical approximation. The connection to the semi-classical classical description can be given by the Wigner transform. So given some operator k, its Wigner transform is a function on the phase space, which is defined by the following integral. And actually, this defines one-to-one correspondence between operators and functions on the phase space. So that inverse map is given by Weyl quantization. The Wigner transform has following essential properties. First, the product of two operators is mapped to the star product of their Wigner transforms, where star product is defined explicitly like this. The first corollary of this property is that if the density operator rho is given by the product of R operators, which we had for the case of necklace quivers, then its Wigner transform is given by the star product of their Wigner transforms. Second corollary is that this relation between operators rho and h is translated to the following relation between their Wigner transforms, where star exponential is defined by the series for exponential, so that each product is replaced by the star product. Another useful property is that the trace of some operator k is equal exactly to the integral over phase space of its Wigner transform. So for general necklace quivers, the Wigner transform of the density operator is given by the star product with R factors, so that each factor corresponds to the pair of adjacent nodes and has the following explicit expression, which can be obtained easily by performing Wigner transform of the given kernel of the corresponding comparator. And let me know that we have chosen HR equal to 2 pi k, where k is a common factor of transcendence levels. For the case of WebEGM theory, after some transformations, one can arrive at the following simple expression for the Wigner transform of the density operator. Let me know that we can always do conjugation of rho, because everything depends only on the traces of rho. And we can also do canonical linear canonical transformations, since star product is invariant under them. So we can further rewrite it as follows, defining this function u and t. And one can determine the Wigner transform of the Hamiltonian from this relation by using the Baekje-Campbell-Hausdorff series, where as a bracket we have the Moyle bracket, which is in the leading order of the semi-classical expansion, is given by the Poisson bracket. The first term of this expansion can be considered as a classical Hamiltonian with kinetic energy T and potential energy U. And one can show that no matter what is the value of H bar, these higher terms can be neglected in the large energy limit. In the semi-classical approximation, we can use the standard relation, which tells us that the number of states with energy less than E is given by the volume of the domain in the phase space bounded by this inequality. When energy is large, this means that P and Q are also large, and we can further approximate Hamiltonian like this. one can consider this equation as the equation which describes the Fermi surface in the phase space, which bounds the region where fermions in our gas condense at zero temperature. And this limiting expression for the Hamiltonians tells us that for large energy, the Fermi surface looks like a square. And its volume can be easily computed. Obviously, it's proportional to the E squared. And using the general relation between the asymptotics of N of E and F of N, we arrive immediately to the desired behavior of the free energy with the right coefficient. Similar situation happens for general necklace squares. We have this representation of the Wigner transform of the density operator as a star product. And in the semi-classical approximation, one can replace star product by the ordinary product. And further, for large P and Q, one could replace log of Koch by the absolute value. And thus, we arrive at the following limiting expression for the Hamiltonian. And this means that in the large energy limit, the Fermi surface looks again like a polygon defined by this equation, where we replace the Hamiltonian with this expression. So the volume of this polygon can be easily computed. It is proportional to E squared. And this implies the following behavior for the free energy. And this agrees with the previously found results. Let me note that we have an interpretation of the volume of dual seven-dimensional manifold as the volume of this region bounded by the Fermi surface. And actually, the geometry of this polygon can be related to the geometry of this seven-dimensional manifold. So let me give a brief summary for what we have now. So we obtained this behavior for the number of states. And we have shown that this applies the desired behavior for the free energy. So, and we have, keep in mind that we have an explicit relation between the function n of e and that of n. And actually, we want to refine the asymptotics for the free energy, and therefore, we need to refine the asymptotics of the function n of e. Suppose that we can show that the refined asymptotics of this function is the following: some quadratic term plus constant, and all other contributions are exponentially suppressed for large energy. Then this would imply the following behavior for the function g of mu for large mu, where coefficient b is simply related to this constant n0. The partition function can be computed for large n by the saddle point approximation of this integral. And at the saddle point, mu is also large. And therefore, we can use this asymptotic formula. Suppose we forget about these terms. Therefore, we have exponential integral of the exponential of some cubic polynomial. And this gives us immediately every function. And everything else actually contributes to the exponentially small corrections. So let me describe how can one actually compute systematically corrections to this function n of e. We can start from the exact formula, and then we can use that the trace can be rewritten as an integral over phase space of its Wigner transform. And then first, there are corrections coming from the computations of this Wigner transform. In the leading order, the Wigner transform of the theta function is given by the theta function of the Wigner transform. And there are also these sublinear corrections where these coefficients have explicit expressions in terms of derivatives of this function. And there are also corrections which we have seen before. They come from the Baker-Campbell-Hausdorff expansion. When we try to compute the Wigner transform, there's a leading term and some corrections. And let me know that if we pick only a leading term here and leading term here, we plug it in this formula, we arrive at the volume formula which we have used before. And it happens that actually only the first quantum correction to this Wigner transform of the Hamiltonian contributes to the perturbative part of n of e. And one can show that indeed the number of states has the following asymptotics. And thus, the partition function has the following asymptotics at large n. And there's straightforward procedure of computing coefficients C and B for a given theory. And for BGM theory, this procedure gives this expression for B. And this confirms the result previously obtained for the BGM theory by much more difficult method. And let me know that although we consider it semi-classical expansion, the expressions for C and B are given only by the finite terms, finite number of terms of this expansion, and they are actually valid for all values of k, like for example we have here. And therefore, this result can be considered as M theory result. Sorry? C for ABGM. Discussed perturbative corrections. Let me now briefly discuss the structure of non-perturbative corrections. Let us restrict ourselves for the case of the BGM theory. Then one can show that this non-perturbative part has the following structure. And we see that contrary to what we have for C and B, here we have full non-trivial semi-classical expansion, or expansion with respect to k. And let me note that, as I already mentioned, in the string theory picture, this k is proportional to the inverse string coupling constant, and therefore this can be considered as a strong coupling expansion in string theory. Let us consider the basic contribution in this expansion, exponential of minus 2 mu. And when we compute the partition function by the saddle point approximation of this integral, we can just replace mu by its value at the saddle point. And this contribution is translated to the following contribution to the partition function z of n. And such corrections were previously found as large n instantons in the matrix model. And from the type 2A point of view, they correspond to D2 brains warping RP3 cycles inside of CP3. And when string coupling is small, these contributions are exponentially suppressed, and therefore they cannot be seen in the genus expansion. But they are visible in this expansion because we have expansion with respect to the inverse string coupling constant.
Is it obvious why you only have positive power of mu in front of exponent? Why cannot you have 1 over mu or 1 over mu squared? It just happened.
Well, I mean, in principle, it would be bad if we, so it wouldn't be bad if we had also the expansion, some negative, full expansion with respect to negative powers.
Yeah, but you don't.
But you, when you plug this expansion in the citadel, you obtain non-trivial, so in the leading order, you just replace mu by square root of n, so here and here, but when you consider saddle point approximation, saddle point approximation, you obtain non-trivial series. You have this exponential. Thank you. valid as contribution of these two brains. But then you also have Poisson number L, but then you have non-trivial expansion starting from M plus. So we.
If you need to move the board, you can press the button there.
I mean, what I want to say is that it's a symbol only when it's in this for this g of mu. But when we consider z of m, it becomes complicated. Also, when we study semi-classical expansion, we actually miss contributions from quantum mechanical instantons of this form, where instanton action is given by the period of canonical one form on the Riemann surface, which arises when we consider the complexified version of this equation. Actually, this equation defines an algebraic curve, and the Riemann surface looks like this for large e, so that actually these inner tubes, they form the polygon which you have seen before. In this picture, the number of states is given by the dual period. One can actually compute this period for the instanton action and show that for large energy, instanton contribution behaves like this. So it is also exponentially suppressed for large energy, and it is translated to the following contribution to the partition function. And in the type 2A picture, this contribution can be interpreted as the contribution of Goldschmidt instantons wrapping SP1 cycle instead of SP3.
What's the behavior of the perturbative correction around the Goldschmidt instantons?
More or less like this.
The question is, does it truncate or?
No.
Do you have all loop correction?
So basically, that's all. So this is a summary. So let me just discuss some of the possibilities to approach the study. So one can actually try to generalize for more general n equals 2 series, for example, for series with arbitrary R charges. And one can show that actually for this series, you have no ideal gas. So you have gas in some directions. And one can also try to understand whether this corresponds to actually behavior of D brains as a Fermi gas behavior. Okay, that's all to say.
What do you mean by the last? I didn't understand the last.
You mean
deeper in instant?
Oh. Well, because in principle, when we do localization, we have these coordinates which we have considered, they correspond to some remnant values of fields corresponding to brains. Because actually, this is for each node we have some field sigma, which is a component of vector multiplied with each field. And this eigenvalues are eigenvalues of this sigma. And somehow you can consider the dynamics of this so that you can say that this as everyone says, this is not understood. You can say that there are some random dynamics of these n brains governed by the dynamics of these variables. And for these variables, so they can be considered as coordinates of Fermi particles, and therefore you can try to understand this on the level of the gas of debris.
And in this limit, you should probably think of M2 brains rather than debris.
M2 brains.
Did you compute the Wilson loop expectation value in this Fermi gas approach?
No. Okay. We have computed it in the normal approach. This approach is a spectral curve and so on.
In the Tuft limit or?
In the Tuft.
So in the non-Tuft limit, nobody computed the Wilson?
Surprisingly.
Thank you.